I grew up in Port Macquarie here all my life. As a child, I wasn't really involved in much stuff, but I always knew the culture and my family, what my background, family background. As I got older, my cousin played the didgeridoo for me, and I really enjoyed the sound, and I really wanted to play it, so I picked it up, and luckily I was naturally talented with it, so I got a tune out of it, and then just progressed from that. I played the didge with a small dance troupe in Port Macquarie at one of the festivals, and somebody liked it and asked me if I'd like to perform elsewhere, so I took up that opportunity, and that's where I progressed from.
Well, not only are you dancing it yourself, you're also inspiring the next generation of younger ones, because I noticed that you've involved them in the dance group.
Because it comes from the next generation. It's the young fellas, keeping them deep in their culture at a young age. So,
So when you get a new young one along for the first time, what sort of things are you telling them and training them?
Basically, the story that comes behind the dance, I break it down to so they understand. I'll get down their level, and for example, observing an animal when we in its natural form, say the pelican dance. I've come up with this pelican dance here in Port Macquarie, where I've never seen that dance in this area, and just watching that pelican, how he walks, how he moves, and how he hunts for his food, and I'll break it down in them steps. So you could see the pelican, he's walking, he's taking flight, he looks for his fish, and he hunts for his fish. I put in the dance, and then I'll create a rhythm of some music in the background that goes along with that. The moral of the story in that sense, the pelican in his natural form, hunting form for fish. I see it down on the town green, a lot of seagulls being fed by the tourists and families, fish and chips. And I noticed the pelican, he just wants to take part in it too, so he's waddled up to have his feed of fish and chips with the family. Well, in natural fact, his natural form is hunting out in the rivers and stuff himself for his own feed. And I'll tell a story to that, and the moral of the story is no, don't feed the native wildlife, because you'll take away from the natural habitats and natural hunting grounds.
Are there any other animals that you've created dances for?
We use traditional methods and today's dreaming, as we call it. Say fishing, how we before fishing rods, hand lines, and that we speared for our fish on the East Coast, because the East Coast they all have a similar story. So, yeah, hunting for kangaroo, hunting for fish.
So through the dance and through creating the movement, the younger ones are going, okay, I can understand the significance of these animals and the role that they played. I mean, we don't, these days we go to the supermarket to get a tucker, but back then, of course, the relationship between animals and the earth and the environment were very, very important.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had that connection, that strong connection with nature, as it provided food for our people.
The song lines is the theme for NAIDOC Week this week. So can you still see those strong song lines that weave their way through Biripi country here?
Through keeping our culture alive and the song lines, our stories that are from our ancestors before us, we try to keep our culture alive and share the dance and the music.
Have you had any mentors or elders that have helped you?
I have in the past, yeah. And yeah, they're still in my life, but yeah, I've taken on that role now to teach the younger generation, yeah, and my stories and my connection to this country.
Well, you've not only you've created story, you've created new stories. Because was there much to go on? Was there much dance that existed? Was there many stories that existed before you created them around here?
Yeah, there was, but I just sort of took my style up and my creativity and the rhythms of the didgeridoo and the clapsticks and the stomping of the feet. So I'm just creating my own style of dance and stories. Yeah, I get a lot work in a lot of schools. Say, in the lead up to NAIDOC, they always engage with Aboriginal culture in their schools. So I get to do a lot of workshops and stuff like that. And just through schools. And if they wanted to perform outside the schools, they're more than welcome to come up and ask me to perform. So we do various festivals and stuff around this area. And
do you notice that there's a change that comes over the kids once they learn? Do they suddenly feel a bit more connected to their Indigenous heritage?
yeah, it's about keeping their culture alive, keeping them who they are, as an Aboriginal person and having fun with the dance, you know. So get them out of their comfort zone, out of that shame factor, and really get into the music and the beats. And once they get the hang of it, it's like anything, it takes practice. And once it's in you, it's embedded in your blood, you know. It comes naturally.
You also have the costume as well and the paint.
Yeah, we use traditional styles of lap, they call them, or bullapins in some areas. And the ochre that we use to dress up is the ochre that we get from the earth. It's a rock, a clay sort of thing, yeah. And we paint that up for, you know, in respect for our ancestors, and we celebrate for them.
The way you grew up without having a lot of connection to Indigenous heritage, you've had to learn that as you've gotten older. So
yeah, that's right. I didn't have that connection growing up, and still in this area, there's not a really haven't got that traditional way about it. Yeah.
And was that hard for you, like having that Aboriginal identity, not having the culture when you grew up, and now you've developed that? Was it difficult growing up with a foot in both camps, so to speak?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because I grew up with a non-Aboriginal family, but still have connection with my biological family. And so I always had that in my blood, but as I got older and more into my, so who I am, finding my culture and who I am, and it's really lifted me up.
Yeah, so that journey from having no culture to having culture and also helping new people, younger kids who may have experienced what you've experienced.
Yeah, that's right.
How has that changed you?
Oh, it's just made me so proud, especially within myself, that I could share that with other people, other Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people as well. Because not having that, and, you know, I lived a pretty wild teenage lifestyle as a young kid, got into a bit of trouble, but this has sort of found my strength within myself, and seeing other people out there learn about their culture and have their culture embedded in them, you know, it makes me proud. I'm very happy to share it and be amongst it.
Would you be fair to say that it changed your life?
Yeah, it would have saved me, if anything. Yeah, that's why, because being in trouble as a young child, you know, I could relate to other people that are in trouble too. So I'm on that level with them, so I could understand.
Yeah,
and that's changed my life. Yeah, I think it saved me.
Having discovered that and feeling passionate about it, it's helped you, and it's helped you want to share that with others.
Yeah, that's right. No, and there is something out there.
In learning about is it essentially Biripi culture that you're learning about?
I grew up in this area, this country, but my connection is Gumbangri country, Dungari and Gumbangri. They're my grandfather's countries. My grandmother's Biripi, southern part of Biripi. And I've been drawn up to Yungay and Bellingen and Maxwell areas lately, so I found my connection up there as well.
And what does it feel like to go to that country that you know you come from that country?
It's unwhelming. So my grandfather, he's passed on now, and he grew up in Yungay Rail, it's in Bangri country, and I've been asked at the Yungay Primary School to teach up there, and, you know, I went and visited my grandfather at the cemetery up there in Yungay and had a tear in my eye to let him know, you know, I'm coming in your country and I'm sharing this culture with our people up this way, your people.
And going into the school, that must have been pretty special.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So I was only based around Port Macquarie here in these schools, and then I think word of mouth, they heard about me in other places up north, and so you know, it makes me feel proud that I could share that up there with them.
Because central to Aboriginal culture is country.
Yes.
Welcome to country, being on country. That's, to me, that just seems to be the rock.
That connection to that area, because yeah, this is where you're based, how you grew up. I've been asked to, you know, move into other places in Australia, but your home is where your heart is. Yeah, it's where you feel connected.